This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, Will and Jake discuss Shinsuke Nakamura winning back the NXT title and WWE going with an Iron Woman match between Sasha and Charlotte at Roadblock. Looking to treat yourself this holiday season? Sign up for ProWrestling.net membership and get all of our exclusive members-only audio updates, including ProWrestling.net Weekly with Jason Powell and a guest where he often breaks first-run news, plus audio reviews of every major TV show, every episode of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, and every last one of our legacy audio updates all the way back to when the membership site launched. That's pretty big. That is a ton of audio. It's way too much audio, to be honest with you. Sign up at ProWrestling.net. 1 month will run you $7.50 a month, and there are savings for an annual subscription or a six-month subscription. And now, enjoy the show. So, Jake, the NXT Championship is a hot commodity right now. A title that had no two-time champions, I believe, until Samoa Joe won it. The second time from Shinsuke Nakamura, now has a second two-time champion, as Samoa Joe has lost the NXT championship to Shinsuke Nakamura in Japan. What do you think about this?
Not really excited about it becoming a trend, if it becomes a trend. I mean, I don't think the match that we saw from Osaka was as good as the match we just saw a takeover. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if this is expedience because they have other plans they're trying to make happen, or if it was something that they wanted to do for the Japanese fans to, you know, make it the WWE network or their product in general feel like, hey, they're making things happen, you know, especially for Japanese fans, which I think is a novel approach. But I mean, overall, I'm happy it's back with Nakamura because I wasn't a huge fan of flipping it back to Joe anyway. But I mean, the match wasn't terribly special, and I hope Hot Potato doesn't really become a regular thing.
Yeah, that's one of the nice things about the NXT Championship, especially in WWE, is that it's not a hot potato title. The guy that holds it usually holds it for a while, and I think Joe's title reign might be the shortest in that title's history. His second title reign. I'm trying to think. Sami Zayn comes up as a short reigning champion to me, but not that short. Big E had it for a long, long time. Seth Rollins had it for a long, long time. I'm not sitting here with statistics in front of me. I am sitting in front of a computer where I could easily find them, but I am not looking for them. But I believe that makes it the
Neville
shortest.
Neville had it for a good long time, too.
Yeah.
Balor had it for a long time. So, I mean, it does seem like a change of pace. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be something that continues or you know, we're going to find out the reasons why, you know, they went in this direction, you know, in the coming weeks or months. You know, they might have Samoa Joe debut at the Royal Rumble, or, you know, they might have other plans for him. You know, it's really up in the air at this point what the reasoning behind it is. I hope we find out soon that there's some master plan at work here, and it's not just something they did, you know, just spur of the moment.
Have they announced a main event for the TakeOver show in January, the night before the Rumble?
Not that I've heard. I mean, they just officially confirmed TakeOver in San Antonio, you know, I think it was last week or maybe the week before. So I don't know if they've announced officially a card yet. That's something that I can look up on this magical machine I have in front of me here. But it's not springing to mind.
A Joe and Nakamura rematch kind of feels natural now. It's a month out. There's not a ton of time for a new challenger, but I believe there's some NXT TV in the can, too, that I could look up, and I don't really know the results of currently. So maybe a Joe Nakamura rematch there, or maybe you're right, and they are rushing Joe to the main roster in time for Mania. Do you think this hurts the chances of Shinsuke Nakamura ending up on the main roster for WrestleMania this year? I've kind of always assumed that his call-up would be between the Rumble and Mania, that he'd get a big match in that time, and that's when we'd start seeing Shinsuke as a regular on WWE TV, not just NXT. Do you think that still happens?
I mean, I guess holding the championship doesn't necessarily make it impossible, given that Kevin Owens debuted holding the NXT championship. But I would think, you know, if they're investing in him as the leader of that brand and they don't have somebody ready-made, you know, to kind of fill that position, that, you know, a permanent spot on the main roster may be out of reach for him, at least, you know, by Mania. But I would think they could have something done by then. You know, he could still have, you know, have an appearance on that show. But I don't think it's going to be in a major match. I think the card is already forming and it's not really forming around Shinsuke at this point.
Yeah, it seems like there's not a space for him. I think you've put it out there, Jason's put it out there, that you guys kind of think AJ Styles ends up facing John Cena, or Cena ends up facing Undertaker. Either way, it's for Cena's 16th World Championship. That's kind of what the direction seems like for Mania. You've got kind of the Raw side getting laid out. I anticipate Jericho and Owens. I anticipate Triple H and Seth Rollins, especially after the promo this past Monday. So it does look like that card may be getting laid out without Shinsuke in there. And at that point, I will start to be one of the people. I've kind of resisted it up until now. But at that point, I will feel it necessary to start going, how long are you going to waste this guy in NXT? Why are you propping up this with a guy that could be a major international star for you? Well, why prop up the C show that's only available on the network and not put everything you can on that main roster?
Yeah, I mean, when you got two brands, it becomes more difficult to defend. I think with SmackDown being as short on star power as it is, they really could use someone like Shinsuke or and maybe
a Nakamura versus James Ellsworth match.
The no chin music would be off the charts, but I guess for me, it's like, well, maybe Joe's already headed there. They really do need star power on SmackDown. And it's not just because, you know, that they don't have people in the main event. They have gaps all over that card and they need to make it, you know, I guess they would probably need a couple of mid-carders and a couple of people for the main event. And they probably need one more tag team. You know, it just seems like SmackDown's a little bit short of being able to transition people smoothly in and out of feuds. And so I really think, you know, they have some people in NXT that could fill those gaps. And if that means NXT becomes more of a training brand again until they're able to build some of that talent up, then I think so be it. I think they, you know, they're sacrificing a lot just to make NXT feel bigger than it probably really needs to be at this point.
Yeah, I almost wonder if there was a bit of overambition with taking NXT on the road as often as they are, combined with the idea that we're going to split the brands. One or two of those things doesn't hurt, but when you add in NXT on the road, separate Raw and SmackDown crews, now you do have a pretty thin roster on the SmackDown side. You do have a little bit of a bloated roster on the Raw side, but you need that bloated roster just to fill out that 3-hour megalodon of a show. So what do you do? Well, you prop NXT up with veteran talent the way that they are, with, you know, Joe, Nakamura, Aries, Rude, Young, so many of those guys that are now regulars on NXT. You prop that show up, and WWE is doing a decent job of that, but you also do have to look at where the homegrown talent is, where those guys that are going to be, you know, that next generation for WWE are going to come from. And I don't see it being NXT, and the indie well will at some point run dry for them. They will raid all of the talent available at some point, or all of the talent that they want. I don't know that it will be immediate, but it's definitely possible. What would you like to see? Let's say Shinsuke and Joe are still going to be on the NXT brand around WrestleMania weekend. What would you like to see as their prospective matches come NXT Orlando?
That's a tough one. I mean, I guess You know, is Hideo Itami back by then? I hope so. You know, I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
I would like to see an Itami Nakamura match before he ends up on the main roster. And for Joe, I really don't think he's going to be there. I mean, I guess you might want to put him with Rude or something at that point. I mean, I think Rude is on his way, you know, to being one of those guys that people look at NXT and go, why isn't he on the main roster? So, you know, maybe those two could have a great match. But there's nobody up and coming that I'm like, man, I really want to see, you know, this guy face Joe or Nakamura. I think, you know, the guy people are talking about is, you know, Ty Dillinger at the moment, but he's been there for what, like 10 years already, it feels like.
Yeah. I'm not particularly excited about a Ty Dillinger call up in the near future. And I think Ty's a fine, talented worker. Wrestlers love him. That's one of the interesting things. So many of the actual pro wrestlers in WWE really like Ty Dillinger, but I think there's a disconnect there, and that I do not think that the 10 gimmick works outside of NXT. I think that's one of those Adam Rose specials, if you will. For me, I'd like to see both guys against Roderick Strong. I think that's something new they can bring. I think Strong and Nakamura have kind of clashed in Ring of Honor at some point, but I think seeing them in a main event scenario in NXT would be really, really fun. And I think Strong versus Joe, again, would be just a fun match to watch on that NXT stage. So I'd love to see one of those matches, probably Strong and Nakamura, WrestleMania weekend. And then for Joe, I think Joe versus Rude could be fun. I think Joe versus Aries as well, once Austin Aries is healthy. They've got something good there. I don't see anyone. I mean, Gargano and Ciampa are the tag champs right now. Either one of those guys against Joe or Nakamura would be really fun to watch, but I don't see that happening immediately. I would say I'd love to see both guys on the main roster, though. They are two guys that I think are ready. They are at that level of talent, obviously, and are completely ready. The only thing holding them back is having the right creative, and to me, that only matters on one brand. That matters on SmackDown, where the creative effort is actually decent. On Raw, no one has the right creative. No one is really in the right spot on Monday Night Raw. So just toss them out there and have at it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, to be honest, I think NXT is in just as much of a transitionary phase as, you know, as some of the main roster. You know, I think Raw and SmackDown are both in that kind of weird spot where there's that kind of rudderless issue that kind of carries all over WWE right now. Like there is more star power on Raw, but it's still very dependent on authority figures. There's less star power on SmackDown, and I think the novel part about that show is that it's the one brand where, and much like NXT, where, you know, it's a one main roster brand where the company isn't booked to be the heels. And that's, you know, kind of what makes it more of an enjoyable show to watch for me in a lot of ways. But, you know, NXT is like, well, you know, we've had that graduating class kind of move up and we're kind of filling in the gaps, and we've signed veterans and we have ROH guys coming in. And it sounds like at the end of this year, you know, there's going to be even more. So it really does feel like they're sort of trying to figure out what that brand is going to be. And, you know, they want to send another class up, including Nakamura and Joe, you know, eventually. But it's tough to like to book the future in NXT, because you never know who is going to make a really big splash. And I assume in January we're going to see some people show up in NXT that may, you know, be a part of the main event very soon.
That is true. And that will be something to keep an eye on. Speaking about feuds evolving and moving on, a Raw feud that I thought had evolved and moved on after last Monday's show, Sasha Banks versus Charlotte, is continuing. It's like, you know, the end of, say, the first Iron Man match between Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, when they said this match must continue. I was like Bret Hart. I was like, nah, we're done. This feud's over. And I heard this feud must continue. And I'm a little bit torn on how to feel about it now. Sasha Banks and Charlotte will have an Iron Man match, I believe a 30-minute Iron Man match at WWE Roadblock, end of the road. The road is blocked. Block roads. And I'm torn. I think they have good matches together. I enjoy watching them wrestle. I like that they are giving these two women another spotlight, another big match to have, and are giving them the chance to do this. While at the same time, Jake, I can't help but have wished they would have had the Iron Woman match two months ago. I feel like I have seen this match and seen this feud for far too long, and I watch the rest of the women on Raw kind of suffer because these two take all of the oxygen out of the room.
Which is kind of a funny thing to say because they don't really bring any oxygen to the room. Like, I mean that in the creative sense that the feud has been, I mean, maybe we're on different pages on this, but I didn't think the feud was any good. Like, I mean, I understand the matches have been good, and I think, you know, they've done just about everything that they can do together. They were in Hell in a Cell, and yeah, and they had the good Falls Count Anywhere match that I think everybody universally enjoyed. But I mean, what are they going to go do for 30 minutes that we haven't seen them do together before? You know, I don't know. Yeah. Like, you've seen them beat each other five times, you know, back and forth. Like, now watch them pin each other five times in the same match. Like, I really don't. I mean, what? Like, how is that a selling point? I guess I just don't understand it. And the fact that they, you know, they needed Mick Foley to sell the Hell in a Cell match to make that feel important. And they need Ric Flair to make this particular part of their feud, you know, feel like it has an emotional weight to it. It's just like, at what point is this going to be booked about these two women? Like, it always feels like there's this intermediary used in order to make it feel more important than they could make it themselves. And then there's also the self-congratulatory portion of this whole feud where they spent almost an entire month, you know, maybe even 6 weeks building towards Hell in a Cell. And, you know, they spent most of that time talking about how historic it was and not about the conflict between the two women. So I don't know. I haven't found this to be particularly booked well, and they've saved it multiple times by having great matches. But I think we've gotten, you know, enough of those now where building towards one longer match doesn't really feel that great to me. I mean, I would have rather seen them move on and had somebody else slide into position and challenge, you know, Sasha and had Charlotte, you know, lick her wounds and do something else for a couple of months. I could have gone at least 6 months or maybe even a year without seeing these two back in the ring together.
I'm in that same boat. And I think that even if you say, well, we want them to have the Iron Man match together, that Iron Man match means a lot more, say, if Charlotte wins the number one contendership after a long Sasha Banks title reign, and Charlotte basically says, you've never actually defended your title against me. Sasha says, you're right, but I beat you multiple times, never on pay-per-view, and you bring them to a point where, okay, now it's that, you know, now it's that definitive match in this feud after you've given it months off. That's cool. I think that actually works. I think the storytelling in this feud has been really poor. And like you said, they've saved it with really good matches. They saved it with performances that are historic and wonderful and great. But the feud has not been good. Like, the matches have been pretty good for the most part. The feud itself, you mentioned Mick Foley and Ric Flair. I think that some of the credit they get for advancing women in wrestling, it tends to fade away when, oh, now the feud's about your dad, Ric Flair. That's great. We didn't need Ric Flair here. Charlotte is a better character when Ric Flair is not around. Sasha is a better character when Ric Flair is not around. Ric Flair does not help this. In fact, he hinders anything that they are trying to do in that feud. I don't like that. I don't like those two having to kind of sell all of the Ric Flair stuff like it matters. That just alone, I don't think Ric Flair is a guy that should be being used right now. I don't think he's worth it, you know, worth it for WWE in a lot of ways. Man, it's weird looking at this feud and going, I think the match is going to be great. I think they will have a really good match in that Iron Woman match. They're going to do things that they've never done before. They're going to pull out some stops. I think they're going to get to tell a really good story in it. I don't think it'll be as good as the Sasha and Bayley match, Iron Woman match that they had just over a year ago at an NXT takeover, but I think it'll be good. I wonder where they go from there. Okay, now are you going to get them away from each other? Are you going to have Charlotte win back the title again and Sasha has a rematch and then they main event Raw one more time. How many times are they going to go back to this? Because I was confident last week that they were going to ditch this feud or at least put it on the back burner for a while. Now I wonder if they have other matches in them after this Iron Man match.
Nah, I hope not. I mean, they already have other, and maybe it's at the prompting of the company. I don't know, but they already have other female wrestlers on Twitter. Like, is this going to be over anytime soon? Like, they're already, you know, commenting about that particular thing. And I think you brought up Ric Flair and you know, and Mick Foley and what they've, how they've been used in getting, you know, this feud over. And I think they're simultaneously patting themselves on the back for having, you know, this historic treatment of women's wrestling, like it's an equal to the male product, but yet they don't have the women out there on their own selling their own feuds. You know, it's like, well, yes, it's historic, but at the same time, let's get somebody out there that we're actually competent in to make it feel emotional and special. And I think that's they'll probably call it hedging their bets, but it comes across as insincere to me sometimes. Like, oh well, we need to make this last another month. Let's get Rick involved again. Like, I just don't buy it, and it's unfortunate, you know, for Charlotte, because I think she had really done a great job of separating herself from her dad as a heel, and now, you know, she had a very good heel performance on Monday, but it feels like, you know, two steps forward, one step back in terms of reverting to, you know, an earlier part of her character development that they had already felt like it was over. And so I'm very hesitant about, you know, the future of Sasha and Charlotte. I think if they try to push it much further than this Iron Woman match, it's going to be a disaster.
I would agree there. And the women's division on Raw is not that strong outside of it. One thing that I think SmackDown has done really well is telling the concurrent stories of Nikki Bella and Carmella and Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss, plus adding Natalya in there, plus adding Naomi in there at points. They don't have a deep roster, but they have done a really good job of weaving these women in and out of it together. SmackDown is kind of this, I always use it as the example of how good things can be with a small roster, even though, like you said earlier in the show, it's getting thin and they do not transition from feuds quickly or well sometimes, which is true. Bayley's handing out bears backstage. That's neat. Alicia Fox is in a terrible relationship with Cedric Alexander. Nia Jax disappears for weeks at a time, which makes sense. She's not like most girls, but still, they're not building up other women. They're not building up natural things. They're not building anyone up to make me go, I want to see them against Sasha. I want to see them against Charlotte. What's going to happen when these women get in the ring together? They aren't doing that, and they aren't giving other women a spotlight on pay-per-view. Take TLC on this past Sunday. You had two spotlight women's matches on that show. Gimmick matches. Good matches.
Longer matches.
Longer matches. I mean, yeah.
They all got time.
Do you think Roadblock End of the Road, The Road Ends Here, is going to have a longer, you know, a second longer women's match, or will it just be the Sasha and Charlotte show?
I think it'll just be Sasha and Charlotte. If they have other women wrestling on the show, I would think it would be a pre-show match. I mean, they don't have enough time to really build up that feud as anything or another feud and have it mean something to make the main card. I mean, unless, you know, Emelina or, you know, that new character debuts next week and, you know, they immediately put her at odds with a particular, you know, character on the show, then no, I don't foresee them having a second women's match on the main card at Roadblock.
To me, that's really disappointing and really short-sighted. Even if, you know, someone back there is going, well, these women aren't going to be that good. Put them in a match, give them the opportunity, let them practice it on the road and get a decent match out of it. Give them that spotlight, because WWE cannot just run Sasha versus Charlotte forever. They actually do have to have other matches. And that's...
Well, they're only 10 days away from Roadblock. I mean, if they were going to have a meaningful second women's feud, that I would think they would have to have given it some television time already. I mean, unless they're really going to throw something together last minute, and they only have 3 matches booked for that card. So maybe we'll see something. I mean, next Raw might be really busy.
Let's hope so. Because they do have to do something, and especially with the women, they need to improve that. Anything to add here, Jake, or should we wrap it up for this show?
I think we covered everything, man. It was it's a lot to take in and talk about on a weekly basis, just with so many things, you know, going on. Too many wrestles, too many hours of programming. But yeah, that should do it.
Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!